Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Steve Puff, a Golden Tee golf gamer from Harrisonburg that just played in the 2022 PGET Tour in the Sussex Open in Wisconsin. Steve is one of the top 50 in the world at this game out of 16,974 participants at the time of this recording. Since 1989, Golden Tee has become a part of barroom pop culture. It's a golf arcade series with play modes that include 18-hole golf, closest to the pin, and online tournaments. This highly competitive video game experience has earned the title of the pool table of the next generation. Welcome to the show, Steve. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is really great. I found out you played this game. I didn't know anything about it. And then I just had to have you on because my son's a gamer and I know that we have a community that's diverse, and I'm sure even if they have never played this game, they'll be interested to hear your story. So I want to start with, how in the world did you get into this game and what was your first tournament?
So probably back in 2009, I was out at a local pub and this game happened to just be in the corner. And some of my friends were playing it, and it looked like a fun time. And I just happened to step up on one of the consoles, one of the machines, and fire up a couple rounds. And I was hooked after that. And within a year, I'd say, the next summer, I attended my very first live tournament in Chicago, Illinois. And it was probably about 100 participants. And it was one of the player charity championships where we raise money for a charity. And that was a company called Salute, which gave money to veterans. So it was a really good experience for my first tournament.
How did you do in that first tournament? Is this something that came easy to you, or was it a little wonky?
It was a struggle to start because okay. I didn't play with anybody with a lot of experience. We were just a bunch of hackers at a bar. So I got to that tournament. I was like, man, I'm decent. But I got there and realized I was not one of the top probably 80 players there. And unfortunately didn't even make the cut for the tournament, but had a great time. I learned a lot of things. I've met a lot of really good players, a lot of great people. And like I said, it just hooked me at that point with these live tournaments. It's just an amazing experience.
Oh, so it's a community. It sounds like where you have made a lot of friends over the time that you've played.
Yes. The community is amazing. Some of my best friends now in the entire country are Golden Tee players. And we just look forward to meeting each other every 2 to 3 to 4 months. Depends on how often we get to these tournaments. But we see each other live all the time. And they're some of my best friends.
That's incredible. Now, do you play golf in real life?
I do not. I'm not an avid outdoor golfer. I've played. I've dabbled. I do have my own clubs. But I am not any good. And so that's why I picked up the indoor bar game, because it makes a much easier experience for me that does not require walking or at least carting 18 holes outside, which I don't like the outdoors as much. So
that's true. Is that common among the people that play Golden Tee golf? Is there a mix of people that play the game in real life and those that don't?
I'd say a mix. There are some like me who are strictly indoor arcade players, and there are some who are really, really good outdoor real golf players that either went to college for it or are semi-pro or, you know, something to do with outside golf, that they are extremely good at it and just pick this game up because of that. So it is a mix.
Yeah, that is a mix, and that's not fair. This is supposed to be for us anyways. Yep. I understand. I watched the finals of the tournament you were just in via a YouTube live stream, which was actually an in-person tournament. Had no idea. Your wife sent me this picture and I had no idea how big this all was. How many competitors are there usually in these in-person tournaments when you go every 3 to 4 times a year?
So in the last couple of years, it has grown from, it used to be anywhere from 70, 80 players to then it got into the hundreds, which was kind of a precedent. And now lately, even though this tournament in Wisconsin was about 110, it has gotten up to over 200 players that we just had last year in Dallas.
Wow. That is crazy. So this is this a, how do the tournaments work? Is it a 1 day event or a multi-day event?
So these tournaments, they can start on a Thursday night. There is a small, usually a close to the pin tournament on Thursday evenings. Usually most of the players come in either late that night or the next day. So this one might only get 30, 40, 50 players, but then they go the entire weekend. So Thursday night, there's close to the pin. And then Friday night is a handicap tournament. And that's a satellite tournament to get into the main event, which is then qualifying on Saturday. And then the actual match play happens on Sunday. So it's an all weekend experience and you can get into as many or as little of the tournaments you actually want to. But the main event, which is the bread and butter, is actually Saturday and then Sunday is match play.
Is this a, does it last a few hours on a, is it longer, I guess, on Saturday and Sunday than it is Thursday and Friday night? Can you give us kind of a time frame?
Yeah, Thursday nights are pretty quick. Usually you get in and out of that tournament pretty quickly. Not as, like I said, not as many people participate in Thursday nights. It's just for the people to show up early, have a good time. Friday night, the handicap tournament can last a little while because there are a lot of participants that enjoy that handicap format because you can have some of the best players in the world versus some of the up and coming players. And they like it because they get some strokes. So if you're a 5 or 4 or 3, whatever difference in handicap, you get that full amount when you're playing in that tournament. And like I said, it's a satellite then to get your $100 free entry into Saturday's main event. Saturday in match play, Saturday in qualifying, it can last up to 5 or 6 hours. It does take a little bit, depending on how many participants and how many of the machines are in the building. And then Sunday is also the same thing. You start about 11 a.m. and it can go all the way till 6 or 7 in the evening.
Does it seem fast or does it seem slow when you're in the
tournament? I guess while you're playing, it doesn't seem as bad. Qualifying sometimes on Saturday can seem a little long because you're kind of back and forth. You play a game, you sit out, then you play a game, then you sit out. But then once Sunday comes, it just depends on if you're winning a lot, you're kind of playing. If you might go 0-2 or win a match and lose a couple, you're going to be sitting out and then you're pretty much done for the night. Mm-hmm. And you can get back in it once the tournament's over and just play with your friends again. But it just depends. It just depends on how you do and how the actual brackets are going.
Are there a lot of spectators at these tournaments, would you say?
Yeah, it's gotten better over the years. It was mostly just us and some of the wives, some of the girlfriends, not many. These days, it's actually gotten a lot bigger. You look around and some of the tables are now full with people there. They're rooting on their friends. They're also the wives and girlfriends are there. And a lot more of the significant others have started to show up at these tournaments and back their loved ones. So it has gotten, it's gotten bigger. It really has. The bar used to have just us and now you can probably double that with the actual amount of people there.
That is really neat. Now, when you say rooting on, are they vocal about it? Because, you know, when you go to a golf tournament, everybody's kind of doing very quiet. And then there's, the quiet clapping as you go. It's like very serene, pretty much. No, they don't want you to talk. Is it more vocal at these tournaments in the bar, would you say?
Oh, we get excited. But when you're playing it, you're watching a person play, you're not screaming, obviously, while they're hitting and while they're participating in the actual match. But if somebody holds out or somebody plays a great shot, there are times when the building will erupt and everybody will cheer. But for the most part, yeah, you're not screaming at somebody during their contest and while they're actually hitting their shot. It's the same thing as golf. Like you see it on TV where as soon as a putt goes in or as soon as a shot's hit, everybody stands up and cheers. It's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering what that environment looked like. You could kind of hear that in the live stream, but I didn't know how typical or atypical that really was. The other thing that really struck me about listening to that live stream is there were commentators, and honestly, they sounded like professionals. But then as I listened longer, I realized that they play the game because then they left to go play their part in the tournament. Is that typical to have that?
Yeah, so it's actually both. There are people that work for the company, Incredible Technologies, who are there just to stream on YouTube Live or the other platforms, and they will get involved and actually commentate. Usually that's at the World Championships in Las Vegas or some other of the bigger tournaments. But at these other tournaments, usually we have six a year. It is us as players who step up in between games or when we're out of the tournament and talk on the stream. There's a handful of guys who do it consistently and they're really good at it and they really enjoy it. There's other of us like myself who might jump in every now and then and just dabble with it just because we know the game, we know the shots, and we might step in and help them out while there's a lull in the competition. But for the most part, there's probably about 10 guys who do it at tournaments consistently. Like they will wait for themselves to either be out of the tournament or between matches, and they will run to that podium and throw the microphone on and like to commentate. So that's the good thing about the game, is that we all know it, but there's some of us who are just better speakers and better commentators than others. And so it's really nice to hear if you're on YouTube, not at the tournament, and you can listen to players who understand and know the game commentating on the action. It's not just some random person who doesn't know what they're doing. So it's nice.
It is nice. I think it made it a lot more interesting, though I was really watching it for the first time. So there are phrases that were so unfamiliar to me. And one commentator said, oh, he went naked on that one. Go naked on that one. What does that even mean? And then are there these popular phrases that are very common in the community that you hear a lot? Can you share with us some of what we might hear if we listened or went to one in person?
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of the times you hear these kind of terminologies or these things they're saying, you might be like, what does that mean? And like, he went naked on that shot. It just means he did not put any kind of spin on the shot. He didn't put backspin on it. He didn't put roll. He didn't put what's called bite or release, which are kind of newer features in the game. And by newer, I mean, it's been 7 or 8 years, but for me, it's kind of a newer feature. And it just means you're hitting a shot and you're hitting the shot true with no spin whatsoever on it. And that's kind of a rarity, I guess, when you're trying to attack a pin, because a lot of times you either want to back the shot up with a backspin or a bite, or you want to enhance the shot with a roll or a release. And sometimes you just don't have to. And that's when the commentators say, oh, he went naked at that. That just means he went true. He hit the shot straight at the hole without any kind of spin on it. And there are also other kinds of terminologies you'll hear a lot. There's a bunch, but off the top of my head, if somebody might say, oh, this guy, he's been working, he's been trying, he's been playing the game a while, and he's been playing more, getting better, which is, you know, PG and G, get better, like, so GB, so PMGB, so play more, get better. Okay. That's a big term in the community where somebody might say, hey, you know, I don't know where this hole is, I don't know how to attack this hole. And somebody might sarcastically say, you know, play more, get better. And that just means you need to put your time in. You need to actually play the game. It takes a long time to actually get down the specifics and the muscle memory and everything else in the game. You can't just walk up to one of these machines at a bar and expect to put up the kind of scores that seasoned players have developed. It does take time. And that's where that terminology comes from.
Takes time. So you practice quite a bit then, I guess. Where do you practice and how much time do you put in that you've become one of the top 50 in the world? Because you're just mentioning you can't just walk up. So what's that journey been like for you?
So like I said, it started about 2009 and I've been playing pretty consistently since then. I have about 22,000 rounds in my lifetime, and that's not even cracking the surface to some of these professionals who have 100,000 plus into the game. But for the most part, I show up at my local bar, and I get there and play for 3 or 4 hours and probably put in about 20 games. And I do that 2, 3, 4 times a week, depending on my work schedule. So there are months I put in 150, some months I put in 200 rounds, and it's pretty consistent for me. I'm not a guy who's going to put in 500 or more rounds, kind of like these professionals do. So they have a lot more of a learning curve than I do when it comes to the courses. I kind of just hack along and kind of figure it out. But for the most part, I play on my own. I don't have a lot of talent in this area that I play with. Whereas I go to tournaments and all the players there are really good. And I learn a lot every time I come into a live tournament from these guys.
When you say round, so does that mean a round is an 18-hole course, or what does round mean? When you say I go practice a round, what does that mean?
Yep. One round is 18 holes. Okay. And every game, so every time you swipe in and you start to play the game, you pay your entry fee into the game, and then you play that 18-hole course. And I do that about 15 to 20 times every time I show up to the bar to play.
Is it expensive to play a round? What does that cost usually?
So it varies. So the average throughout the country is probably $5 a game. It costs $4 to play the game, and then one extra dollar to go into the prize pool. And so there are 50 contestants in that prize game. So every single of those 50 players puts in that dollar. So there's a $50 prize pool in every single live game you play, every single live prize game you play. And there's a structure. And every time you get first place, it's $10. And then second's $8. $6 is third. $4 is fourth. And then it goes down to $2 from fifth to 10th. And then from 11th to 20th, it's $1 back. You basically get your entry fee back. And then after that, you don't get any more money. So top 20 get paid, and the rest are there for kind of practice.
Well, who are this competing? Competing. So these are other gamers in the area, or who are
this? Is everybody in the entire country. As soon as you put your money in and add your dollar to a prize game, you're competing against 49 other players from anywhere in either the country or actually the world, because there's some players in Canada right now on the live platform. So you are competing against 49 other players from anywhere. It's whenever they swiped in. And if they're at that same level as you, they play in that same contest.
I see. And then let's say you won the $50. How does the payout work? Do you go to the bartender? What does that look like?
So you don't win the full $50 first. Like I said, it ranges from first to 20th in different kinds of money. So right. Like I said, first place, you get $10 back. So that's your goal, to get first place in that exact tournament, and you get $10. And that goes to a virtual account through the company. And you can use that money either to, once you get to a point you'd like to cash that out and get a paycheck, you can do that. Or it stays in that account every time you swipe your card in, and you can use that for future games. So for the majority of the world, 99% of the world win that money and keep it in their prize account. But then the best of the best can actually ask for a check from Incredible Technologies, and they will send them money through the mail.
That's interesting. I have a couple of questions there, but if first a question is about the money, like what kind of check are we talking about that the best of the best are waiting to cash a check? How big's that check?
I mean, we're talking, some of them play for a living. There's probably 10 or more guys in the entire world that do this game every day. They grind out 50 games a day. It's the max you can play is 50 a day for prize games. And that's their living. They go to the bar or go to their local establishment and put in the time and put in the effort. And that's what they do for a living. So I've never done that myself, but there are guys that probably get a couple $1,000 paychecks every 2 weeks. So that's what they do.
That's amazing. See, I had no idea. I am so glad you came on for very many reasons. I'm learning so much about this game. This card that you use, is this something that the company sends you? How do you get the cards that you swipe?
Yeah, as soon as you start the game and you start a live account, Incredible Technologies will send you a player card. It's just a generic player card that you can use to swipe in every time you play. And then those of us that go to live tournaments, we get player cards through the live tournaments every time we're in attendance at one of those. So people like me, I mean, I have an entire case full of cards. I probably have about 50 plus cards in my, probably more than that, in my upstairs collection. So yeah, you can pick a card, any card. It doesn't really matter which one. They all have the same information on it, your same player information. It's just, and actually player cards are kind of the thing of the past. There's actually a keypad on the back of the machine too, where you can punch in it's your phone number. So what's that? Ten digit number. Right. And if you want to put your phone number in and then a password, a 4-digit password, you can actually log in that way too, with this little keypad on the back of the machine. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the future, when these PGA machines come out, there's going to be a NFC where you can use your phone and actually log in with a little card, a virtual card on your phone. And as long as you're near the machine, you can log that in and it puts you right in the tournament.
Savvy. This technology company is savvy. Tell us about these new PGA games that are coming out. What is different and exciting about that than what you all are playing now?
So they just started getting released about a month or two ago. There were some out in the country in the beta getting tested, but now they're starting to come out in full force. It's a whole new platform. It's the first new platform since about 2005. And it's a brand new game, a brand new console. It's in 4K graphics, all new hardware. It's really nice. And they're kind of in slower demand right now, or slower production right now, because there was a lot of going on with COVID. A lot of the hardware was hard to get, the chips, the video cards, the hard drives, you know, the maybe not the hard drives, but the motherboards, things like that were hard to come by. So they're just starting to come out into the country and starting to flood out into the local bars and establishments. But it's going to be the new thing in Golden Tee. PGA Golden Tee is going to be the new platform where you can play real PGA Tour courses. There are a lot of the Sawgrass courses out right now. Yeah. And I'd say they're only less than 500 out in the world right now. And they're still trying to get them out as much as they can. So they're kind of a luxury right now. They're not the main platform we're playing on, but they are integrated. So the machines you find out in the world right now that are still the old platform, they still are, they still work with the Golden Tee PGA. So for the next probably 4 years, you're going to see kind of both out there. You're going to see the new attractive PGA machines. You're going to see the same legacy machines that we're playing on right now, but it's all going to be the same network. It's all going to be that you're still going to be able to play the same courses for prizes, things like that. The only difference is you can only play the PGA courses on the PGA machines.
I see. Have you had a chance to play with one of these new machines?
I have not. So far, there's not any in my immediate area. I envision that changing here soon once they start becoming more predominant in getting shipped out. But for the time being, I have been close to one, but I have not actually played it. And so far, I'm just kind of waiting. Since it's not a necessity right now to have one, you can still play on these legacy machines, still play for prizes, still play for everything we've been doing in the past. It's just these PGA Golden Tee machines have so many more features, the better graphics, everything like that. And so, like I said, it is going to be the future. They're just slowly integrating them into the field right now.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I imagine there's a cost associated with that. And there's,
oh, yes.
You want to be strategic business wise as you implement something like that. So I understand that. What at these tournaments, I imagine the prize winning is different. And I would think more at the tournaments than they are when you're practicing rounds. Can you give us a sense of what someone can win at a tournament, like the ones that you play in?
Yeah. So the tournaments, it's $100 buy-in to get into the main event, like we previously discussed, where you show up on a Saturday, qualify, and then play match play on a Sunday. But there's added money at these tournaments from the establishments. So people don't realize this, but we actually, the company who runs these tournaments, Power Event Bending, they show up and actually talk to the owners of these bars and these establishments and explain to them that not only are we going to have 100 plus people there from Thursday night on to Sunday night, but they're all going to be there with their wives, their girlfriends, their friends. There's a lot of extra people in their bar. And typically these establishments and bars have some of the best weekends of their entire year when we're there for that one weekend. I mean, I hate to say it, but we like to have fun. So we like to drink. We like to have a good time. We hang out there. And so these places will add anywhere from $5,000 up to $10,000 plus to the prize pool just to have us there. So it's kind of weird. People think, oh, you're paying this bar to give you that space and to play in their bar. No, it's the actual opposite. They pay us to show up and to man their bar and to stay there all weekend. And yeah, that's so that adds to the prize pool. And if you look at some of the payouts, you can make $3,000-$4,000 for winning a tournament, and then it goes down from there. So the top 32 people that qualify get in what's called the main bracket, and that is a guaranteed payout. So typically, if you make that top 32 out of the entire tournament, you're not even going to get your entry fee back. You're going to get more money back So if you put $100 in, you're going to get guaranteed to probably at least get that back plus more. And then there's other tournaments involved. So the top 32 make a bracket, and then the next 64 people make a bracket, and then the next possibly 64 after that. And all those brackets have prize money involved, at least for the top few players. So it depends on your skill level. If you're a top player, you're going to make the most money, obviously. But if you somehow fall out of that top 32 and you're in the next 64, there's prize money in that bracket as well. And then even the next 64 people, there's prize money in that bracket. So there's potential to win money in anywhere you play in the tournament.
You know what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking I need to learn how to play this game.
Yeah, it's a great time. Yeah.
It's because it seems like, I mean, in seriousness, though, it seems like there's more than one opportunity or way to win money at this game and have fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's a lot of different ways to win. There's kind of an unwritten but hidden thing that we do. It's called a Calcutta, and the people in the pool industry and other gaming understand that. It's a player auction where you can bid on the players, and that happens before every tournament as well. Yeah, you can actually buy a player in the tournament, and that's also money involved. So yeah,
you can. What do you mean buy a player? Like you're betting on them to win? Is this like what the fantasy football sort of?
It's basically like that. Yeah, you're buying a player, and they have the option, whatever you buy them for, to take half themselves, which gives them the opportunity to also win money on themselves. They don't have to. If I buy somebody for $50, they don't have to say I'll take 25 of that. But they're smart too, because if they do really well, then you win, I win. So it's a win-win. And they usually pay about the top six in the main bracket. They pay usually the top three or so in the next bracket. And even the best player of the even bracket after that gets a little piece of the pie. So it's it's a player auction. You don't have to participate. You don't even have to take any amount of yourself if you don't want to. But if you're a top player, you always do. You take money, you accept whatever somebody buys you at, and usually take half yourself, and you're along for the ride. So, and that pot can get pretty lucrative. It can get up pretty high. There's some tournaments where that pot can get into the $30,000+ range.
What? And
yeah.
Again, I want to learn how to play this game.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't like to know about the big money involved, but it is. It's a big money business. And We're all gamblers that come to these tournaments. We all enjoy a good time. We all, you know, like to bet on us or other people. And so if you think, yeah, you know, I might not be one of the top players in the game. Well, you can buy one of the top players in the game. You can live, you know, vicariously through them. And however well they do, you do well as well. So.
Okay. So thank you for that. So that's my way in. If I go try to play this game and I'm horrible at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I can do that. Now, have you been bought, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I don't go for a lot. This last tournament, I think we went for $100, and I did. I made a good effort. I finished 9th through 12th, which is just outside the money. You have to be top six to make the money. I have done that once in my entire career. I finished the 5th, 6th. I finished just outside the money a couple times. So I'm not one of those guys who are consistently in that podium. They call the top fours the podium. I've never done it, but I'm not also one of these guys who plays every single day for 50 games a day. And for me, it's a hobby. It's fun. It's not a living for me. So I'm just happy to be there. I'm happy to participate. I try to do my best. And I mean, even being one of the maybe top 50 players, I mean, that, yeah, there's still a big learning curve when it becomes the top five players. There's some really good players who are really, really consistent.
Yeah, they probably stand out. I mean, obviously on the screen they stand out, but I imagine they may stand out also in terms of their movement and how they play or not. Am I wrong or?
Oh, no, they all have unique styles. They're very, very, there's a lot of styles involved in the game that are successful for people. Whether it's a power game or a finesse game or it just depends. It just depends on the player and how they decide they're most successful. So every player is different. Every player has their own style. But you're right. Every tournament you go to, you know, whether it's 100 or 200 participants, you can probably look in the room and point out the top 10 guys and say, these 10 guys, one of those 10 is going to win this tournament. It's just the way it is. It's just the way competition goes.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. How much money have you won? What's the most amount you've won personally?
I think back in, I think it was 2014, maybe 15. I can't remember. It was the next player charity championship of the fourth of the variety. I remember I told you the first term went to was the player charity championship three. Yes. This was the player championship four. I finished seventh and or 7-8. It's just because it's a tournament. So you, the way you finish, sometimes you either finish seventh or eighth, it's just called 7-8. I think I made close to $1,000 on that. This last tournament, I won maybe 600, finishing 9th through 12th. But my claim to fame is the Calcutta. Like I just told you about the player auction. I've made a lot more money doing that than I do on myself because I'm a big proponent of just showing up, throwing a lot of money into that and getting a lot of players. And if you get lucky and somebody wins or finishes top two or three, you're going to profit. And that's how I enjoy going to these tournaments.
I see. You got strategic. You're smart, Steve. I love it. I love it. How far have you traveled to play this game?
Probably the furthest is going to be Vegas. Of course, I just got back from Vegas a few months ago, and that was one of the world championships. That's my second time I've been out there for the world championships. So that's by far the furthest I've traveled. But other than that, these national tournaments, I've been anywhere from Texas to Florida, all over the East Coast, up to Wisconsin, like you just said last weekend. So it ranges pretty much anywhere they're at, I'll go to. So I don't have a problem flying to them. I could drive to them if I can, but for the most part, yeah, Vegas would definitely be the furthest one.
Did you meet, you said world championship. So did you personally meet people that have traveled really far to come to the States to play this game? Can you share some of those stories with us?
Yeah, there were four or five guys who came from Canada. And in the past, it's not so much right now, but I think with the new PGA platform, it may change. But in the past, they were called the World Championships because people from all over the world came to these things. And it was basically like kind of like the Ryder Cup in real golf. It's USA versus the world. And so it was there were people coming from across the pond and the UK. There were people coming from Australia, from Canada. There were a lot of different countries that were showing up. Unfortunately, they've kind of died off in the last 10 years, lack of machines in those countries, lack of play, things like that. But I think their plan is to make this global again and to make the real world championships again, world championships, not just basically us and five Canadians. So they're still called the world championships, but and there were a couple of Canadians who did really well. And they've always been really strong players. It's just they're trying to get the entire PGA consoles, they're trying to get that global again, which is going to be huge if they do that, because then it will invite a lot of other countries and a lot of participants to start showing up again.
I like that. Keep the vision big and let's bring them back in with the new software. I guess it's called software, probably software/hardware. I'm not the computer person. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Can you play this game at home?
Yeah. So they make what's called a home edition and you can buy that and you're strictly going to play at home. And there's certain events and certain ways you can play. You cannot play for prizes. Like the way I was telling you, with 50 participants or everybody throws in that dollar and you win money that way. But there are other events where strictly for homeowners and they can throw a dollar into the pot during that process and they can win their own money. There's also in invitations where say, if me and you want to play from across the country, We can sit there and set up an invitation where you can anywhere from free, you can play for nothing, or you can play up to $50. And you can say, I'll play you 1-on-1 for whatever you want to play for. And you can set that up. You can do that on home editions as well.
Home editions. Is this a console like a Game Boy or something, I guess?
No, it's the exact same game as you play at the bar.
Okay.
It's just strictly for homeowners. And you get to play. Basically, you're playing for a subscription for the online network, but you're playing, you can play anybody in the country who's also playing in your online contest. It's just, you're not playing for those prizes like you would at the bar in a commercial. It's a commercial unit versus a home unit. And so you get all the access you get on the commercial unit. It's the only issue is you cannot play for that money.
I see. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So that way you can practice at home.
Yes.
To be able to be a part of these competitions at some point.
Yeah. And some of the guys, the biggest up and comers in this game in the last 2 or 3 years have been homeowners who not only get to just sit there and play at home over and over and over again for no money. It's just, you can get in these contests for free and you can just practice all you want. And they get to really get their skills really honed in. And a lot of them have become some of the best players these days because they just have that mentality where they just practice and become really, really good at the game. And people like me who have to go to the bar and show up there and then put your money in and play the contests. Yeah. I might not play as much as them because I'm at a bar. I'm not at home, or somebody at home can really just play at their own leisure.
What's the investment for one of these home games?
Right now, with the same legacy game we're talking about, not the PGA, because they're not available yet for home use, usually about $4,000 to get a unit. And you get that to your house, and you can, like I said, set up a subscription. And that subscription's a little extra. It probably costs about $500-$600 to get it registered to your online account. And then you get that free access for the entire year to play as many games as you want. But you're set up online with a Wi-Fi, with the Wi-Fi in your house, and you can play as much as you want.
Does that come with the card also, or do you not need the card for the home game?
You don't need it. You can also swipe in with it. A lot of the home machines don't have a card reader to swipe in, but they do have that keypad, like I told you, on the back of the machine. And you can log in with your keypad entry. Some of the older home machines do still have the card reader where you can swipe your card, but there's plenty out there nowadays that do not. You just type in with the keypad.
And the reason I asked that, because you can keep track of your own success or comparison to others that way, is what I was thinking. Right.
Yeah. Your account's your account, whether you're swiping in with the card or you're typing in with your keypad digits.
Right.
Your account is the same thing. It's all going to register your account. It's going to keep track of your stats, your scores, everything. So it doesn't matter how you log in. It's all going to be your account.
That's so great. That's fun. I love that. Are there places where you play in Harrisonburg or in the Shenandoah Valley for your practice?
Yeah, I play at a place called Gold Crown Billiards, which is up on the top of the hill there at the city limits of east side of town. And I've had as many as 3 golden tees there in the past. There's been 2, there's been 1. It just depends on the players. We used to have a lot of players that came in there throughout the years. Now it's not as much. Me and a few others might stop in. And so it's year to year. It depends on who starts picking the game up and who wants to put in the time to learn. There's other establishments in town that have a few machines here and there. People like to play in their own watering hole. So if I was an up and coming player or somebody who wanted to learn, I would seek me out and I would want to play with me. But there's some people who like to just play with their buddies. That's just, they go to happy hour and they want to play a couple of rounds with their friends. And that's all they care about. It's just having a good time playing with their friends. They're not worried about going to tournaments. They're not worried about any of that. That's what they want to do. But somebody like me, I wanted to get good and I wanted to actually learn. And so what I had to do was seek players out throughout the country. I couldn't just go in Harrisonburg, or I couldn't go to anywhere other than like Northern Virginia or maybe Richmond or somewhere like that to find some good talent. It took me a long time.
How did you seek them out? How did you connect with them?
So there used to be a message board online. It's since been pretty much done, but where you could just type and say, hey, anybody in the Virginia area that's been playing this game. And that's what I did. Found out there were some good players in Richmond, found out some good players in Northern Virginia. And then I started going to tournaments and met some of these people and became really good friends with them. And to this day, I still travel and play with them either up there in Northern Virginia, or I used to go to Richmond all the time. It's kind of doesn't happen much more. One of the best bars that we've ever had. And one of the best tournaments we ever had was in Richmond in the Baja Bean, which has since closed a couple of years ago, but it was the longest running Golden Tee tournament. And it was one of my favorite places to go, but that was one of the best places.
One of the pandemic casualties, I imagine.
That's possibly. About right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, new stuff is coming, like this PGA game and all of that. So now that message board is not available, this is probably a 2-part question, I would say. If somebody would want to get into this, what would you recommend and how could they connect with someone like you so that they could practice and get better with someone that knows what they're doing and is talented.
So now it's all social media. It's all Facebook. Okay. It's okay. Like that. There's a site called Golden Tee Fan on Facebook, which has thousands of people in that group. And anything you need, if you want to send a message and say, hey, where can I play? Where are the people? If I'm in a town on vacation or I'm in town traveling, just stay in the night. All you got to do is post something that says, hey, I'm in such and such town. Is there anybody around? And you'll get responses pretty quickly that say, yeah, where do you want to meet? Or this is my spot. You want to come to my favorite spot and we'll play some games. And that's what's great about this community is that anytime you're looking for action, you're looking for a game, you're looking for fun, looking to get better. There's so many places you can show up to and have just really, really, really nice people that will help you out. It's just always been like that. It's just this community has always been so great of being accommodating and finding people. And that's pretty much the platform is going to be Facebook these days. And Golden Tee Fan. Yeah. So if you look up Facebook, Golden Tee Fan, there's actually a website as well that this gentleman out of Chicago, Eric Nelson, has created, Golden Tee Fan. And it's a great tutorial for new players. It will show you all the old courses, all the new courses, hole by hole layouts. It will tell you all the pro tips, what to do, what don't do, things like that. He's been a good advocate for the last decade plus on really helping out new players. But for the most part, like we said earlier, you play more, you get better. So just show up with somebody better than you and just be humble. Don't worry about trying to keep up with them. Just show up and say, hey, I'm learning the game. And they'll most 9 times out of 10, they're going to be very accommodating and they're going to walk you through the game. They're going to help you out and they're going to try to get you better. And that's what's great about the community.
That was so helpful. I'm serious. I might have to look this up. And this sounds like a lot of fun, even if it just to try it, And then if not, be able to watch it. See what's going on with the community, watch you and follow your success. I love your wife. So that sounds like a lot of fun to me. This is really great. Thank you, Steve, for coming on the show today. It has been super fun and informative, and I always enjoy hanging out with you. So thank you again so much for being here.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I hope everybody learned a little something about Golden Tee Golf.
Yeah, I think they did. I think that's safe to say. Laughers, you can learn more about Golden Tee and follow their events on their website at livewire.itsgames.com. That's livewire.itsgames.com to follow their upcoming events, get a lot more information, and see how Steve is doing. Also, this April, they will have their first ever women's tournament you can check out also. And we'll make sure that we put this information for you in the show notes as well. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.